Rush Sound.
It's the Breakfast Show. We are live on the road this Friday morning from Welsh Bignor in Herefordshire.
It's still sunny.
This is Iron to Iron, a 320-mile cycle journey through engineering history.
They started on Tuesday at the Melbourne Viaduct in Devon. They are on their way back to the Beverley Viaduct in Derbyshire.
In the last episode, our amateur cyclists travelled from Bristol to Welsh Bignor in Herefordshire, hitting the halfway point of their journey. Things are about to get tougher. The team are now heading to Coalport in Shropshire and have 80 gruelling miles to cover in just one day. It's day four of a six-day challenge. Our group are starting to tire, and mistakes are being made.
We're here on the way up to Ledbury from Welsh Bignor. A bit of a coming together, was it?
Yeah, there was, yes. Just a slight one. My fault. Basically, I'd seen Brian at the roundabout, and we turned left, and we're going down. I heard someone say something behind me, so I said, quick look over my shoulder, and I looked over shoulder, turned back round again, the guys in the group in front were slowing down because we'd gone the wrong way, and I just clipped Jeff's back wheel and I just fell off, but luckily I fell onto grass rather than the road, so
No reported injuries. Did the bike get injured at all?
The approach to the youth hostel had been a bit of a challenge. Originally I think the route had been to go back along that way, because that was a bit awkward. We'd had a look the night before and sort of slightly adjusted the route along the river first, and then the climb up out of there into the hills.
There was a lot of climbing that day. It was a big cycling day. We did over 5,000 feet of climbing. I do remember stopping up for our lunch. Once we got our Greg's pasties down us and coffees, we were all ready to get cracking, but we had a visitor coming to say hello. I don't remember who that was, frankly, but that was fun.
Sure. Okay. My name's John Darlington. I'm the executive director for World Monuments Fund in Britain, and we're part of World Monuments Fund internationally, globally. We essentially champion and support internationally important monuments across the whole world. And back in 2018, we put Beverley Viaduct on our World Monuments Watch site list. That means it was one of just 25 across the whole world. We thought it was that important, not just for its heritage, because it's clearly a wonderful, wonderful wrought iron structure, but also because it has this real connection with the community, and we can make that connection stronger still through our support.
So in terms of preserving Beverley Viaduct, which is what's been able to happen now with the project of turning it into a cycle and walking route, I mean, what's the significance of being able to preserve that, to keep that there?
Oh, it's huge, it's huge. You think about heritage, and people think about it as stately homes and palaces, but actually here's a bit of heritage in the middle of England, which is going to be a cycle path and, as you say, a place for walking for people of all different abilities. So the mix between heritage, global heritage, and health, well-being, exercise, being outdoors is really unusual, so it's a great one for us to support.
And you mentioned it went onto a watch list. How significant does that make it in terms of, I guess, the rarity of a place like that?
It's certainly a very rare monument. I think there are only two surviving wrought iron bridges in the whole of the UK, and internationally there's not a huge number anyway. So it is absolutely, it's significant from our perspective across the world, but it's, as I said before, it's not just significant because of its heritage, but it's significant because of its connections to the community and what the community want to do with it. And this is, in a way, part of that celebration.
In terms of the World Monument Fund and in terms of the kind of projects that you're looking at, I mean, are there other things in the region that sort of connect up with Beverley that share that kind of history?
That's a really good question. The answer is that we have supported in the UK great palatial mansions, so Stowe House, Strawberry Hill in near London. We've supported the piers at Blackpool, so, you know, again, a bit of lovely Victorian heritage. But I have to say, Beverley's unique. You know, we don't have that kind of site on our watch list. The only one I could actually recall, not a bridge, but actually a railway line in Peru. So that's the closest we get.
So there's definitely a connection with Peru now to Benley then, in that respect.
I look forward to inviting the team out in that direction for a site visit.
So you're joining the team on the cycle today then. So just give them a bit of a flavour of where you're heading today.
Do you know, I really don't have much of an idea. if I'm being honest, I'm kind of at the back of the peloton. We're heading towards Ironbridge, which is, of course, another internationally famous and well-known industrial bridge and beautiful structure. So we're heading towards there. So I'm guessing we're going to be skirting the Malvern Hills, which will be where I slow down, as I mentioned before. Yeah, just skirting parts of Worcestershire and then into Shropshire. So it's a lovely, beautiful part of the Marcher countryside. I live close by, so I love this part of the world.
And in terms of the part of the world we're in now, I mean, obviously lots of old buildings. This is a very traditional British market town we're in at the minute in Ledbury.
Absolutely, and you can't see on the radio, but I can tell you this, the county of Herefordshire is renowned for its black and white houses.
That was Erewash Sounds Paul, chatting to John Darlington, the executive director of the World's Monument Fund in Britain. So on to Ironbridge, the longest section of the challenge, a gruelling 80 miles. When they did finally arrive, tired and hungry, things were not as they'd hoped, and morale was sorely tested. Here's cyclist Ron.
When it gets hard, you all kind of help or encourage each other along. You know, I think if I was doing it on my own, I would have been less inclined to. I would stop much more. We'd have attempted to not plan such a long section. But by doing it in a group, you do achieve a lot more than doing it on your own. Just like running, you know, it's much nicer to run in a group than it is to run on your own. Certainly towards the end of day four, because it was a long day, we were getting a bit competitive. And I do remember the last 10 miles being quite fast, kind of macho style, with just bombing along, trying to get to the best rooms at the youth hostel. And so we're kind of racing each other. And I remember going quite fast, yeah.
When I did the first day cycling, I thought, am I going to be able to cope with this, you know, with the cramps and stuff? But I think actually you got into a rhythm of cycling every day. So by the fourth day, I was actually into the routine of it and actually feeling reasonably good. So, you know, tired at the end of each day. And there were times when you were cycling that you were thinking, it seems a long way. The sort of mileage we were doing was not too bad, but obviously some days were more challenging perhaps and a bit longer than others, so you've got to maybe keep a bit in the tank for the longer days.
The last 4 or 5 miles was down an old railway track, but it was gravel, so it was a real bone shaker. I was tired, and I think that was the longest day. And it was strange in a way, because we were shaken to bits. We arrived at the youth hostel, which is a very smart youth hostel, and then we went out to find food, and everywhere was closed. We got to the fish and chip shop, and one person had the last piece of fish, and one had the last chicken leg, and one had the last sausage. And we ended up sitting looking at the Iron Bridge itself, illuminated. But I had been looking forward to a sit-down in a restaurant, and I didn't get that.
It may not be what they had in mind, but a bag of chips would have to do. Our cyclists were, however, rewarded with the breathtaking view of the Iron Bridge.
When we went down to Ironbridge in the evening, the actual view of the bridge with it all lit up and with its new paintwork, it looked really stunning, actually.
Why is this structure so significant? Here's our architect, Ron, to explain.
When you look at the bridge, you can see that the technology was still developing because it's joined together using carpentry techniques. There are pegs and dowels. Rivets hadn't been invented yet. Originally, it only had three arch structures that they had to insert an extra set between the three, so there was actually now five arches supporting the deck. It was built by the local founder, who wanted an example of his ability to produce iron structures, and so actually it was an entrepreneurial structure. I mean, yes, it was needed, and it was built on a site where other bridges had existed but washed away. So he built this structure as an example of what he could do. It has stood the test of time, and it is what everybody worldwide has now come to recognize as being the first iron bridge, and so hence its significance.
Just finished the longest trip of the whole ride. How many miles do you make it at the end of the trip?
It's 79 and a half.
Oh, the half matters as well, doesn't it?
The half matters. I mean, there were various bits of route where you could have gone one way or the other. We did 79 and a half.
Lovely.
Seven of us.
Lovely stuff. Congratulations. Kieran, you've just got off the bike. I don't think you're very happy that I'm speaking to you. How are you feeling after that?
I'm exhausted today. I really felt it today. I think what pulled me through is the little group that we were in. They just kind of dug us out of a bit of a hole, really, and it didn't half help.
It was quite interesting because when I asked you this off microphone, you said it in a lot less words, how you're feeling. A good ride, though.
One of them was off.
Yeah, it was. It was. A good ride, though. How does it feel to have got over the hardest bit?
Well, I just hope, I'll feel a lot better tomorrow morning, because I think there's a few hills tomorrow as well. But I'm glad we've got that big one out of the way.
Yeah, and obviously tomorrow we go to see Ironbridge. How are you feeling about that? And we also get to speak to Sir Neil Cossens. So how does that feel?
I'm looking forward to that, I really am, yeah. I mean, Sir Neil Cossens, he did a lot of work in the 1970s and 1980s, you know, preventing Benley Viaduct from being demolished. So I'll be really interested to find out what he's got to say, because I've never met him before. He's agreed to be the patron of the Friends of Benley Viaduct, which is fabulous, really.
Lovely stuff. Final question, whose turn is it getting the beers in?
Well, it must be mine. You know, they've been kind of keeping my pint glass full, these lads.
The plus side was that I like my beer, my real ale. And there's some really good real ales around there. And there was a micro pub which had, 10 or 12 different ales on. Obviously, I couldn't sample very many of them, but two of us ended up there having two or three halves. It's the surprising things, the things that you didn't know were going to be there. So I was disappointed about the food, but thrilled it was the only micro pub that we found on the trip.
Good afternoon. That was a big day. We've been to Ledbury and we're now nearer to Birmingham than we were Bristol.
Now we are in Coalport, which is near to Ironbridge, famous for having, would you believe, an iron bridge.
That was inventive of them, wasn't it? Tomorrow we are heading...
A well-deserved pint or two after a gruelling day. 80 miles through the Herefordshire countryside to Coalport in the West Midlands. In our next episode, day 5 of the challenge, we join our cyclists as they visit Ironbridge and are treated to a deep dive into its engineering significance. Then on through Cannock Chase to Moira on the Derbyshire border. A leisurely 50 miles to cover in one day, their final destination almost within reach. You've been listening to Iron to Iron, an Inkslingers Media production in partnership with Erewash Sound and the Friends of Benley Viaduct. Supported by the Audio Content Fund, presented by Rachel Bramhall, with Paul Stacey and Lewis Allsop. Produced by Leona Fensom, Paul Stacey and Lewis Allsop. Executive producer, Lucia Scazzocchio. Music performed by Chris Nixon, script by Jackie Brewster. Audio production and sound design by Oliver Sanders. For more information on future Iron to Iron journeys, please visit benleyviaduct.org.uk.